like to remind you that if we look at the second day of the feast, it would relate to the time slot that we're in the Passover, where he would really be in a place of torment and in the belly of the earth for 3 days. Somehow, there's a knowing in my heart that he would have been focused on where he came from and what was he doing there. Perfectly aware that he was doing it for us. You see, he had already given the disciples several times warnings. The Son of Man will be betrayed. They couldn't catch on. It was like it went in one ear and out the other. It's like talking to a bunch of stubborn children focused on themselves. And I believe the disciples were just like you and me. Without the Holy Spirit, they had received him, but they were still very carnal. They were still thinking about me, myself, and I. And that's where we are sometimes. And I'm not blaming you. I'm just letting you know I walk in those places just like you. But when I believe that he was reminding himself, I am the resurrection. On the third day, I will rise again. I believe that we're in the threshold of that same space. We may be still filled with lots of carnality, but the reality is we're getting closer and closer to the fullness of Christ. And when the fullness of Christ is fully manifested in us, we will do his work. We will do what he was commissioned to do of the Father. And some, like myself, I deal with the unbelief of that. Because we've been looking hundreds of years, one after another, with no change. Yet that isn't the total truth. A little over 100 years ago, the Holy Spirit invaded the church. And it sprang forth in my heart in the 1970s. You see, for 100 years, the Holy Spirit has been doing a work. And I'll be honest, sometimes my own flesh gets in the way, no different than you. And I ask Jesus to give me a little booster shot. The anti-Christ. The anti-anointed one tries to push my buttons. Would you stand, Mary? Because I have a sense that since you're right next to me, you probably fight that same fight. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah. They can't hear you back there, by the way.
Yes.
Okay. So you see, male and female, there's no difference. There's a war going on. And it's a war from the Antichrist in us, trying to control us, trying to go backwards. And he's not going to win. Because you see, Jesus did come out of the grave. But I'm sure in the second day, while he was in the tormenting space of the belly of the earth, it couldn't have been too swift. I shared with you that when we went to the Holy Land experience, we walked into the big fish And Gabriella, of course, is full of eyes. At 5 years old, she sees everything. And she pointed to her grandmother, or great-grandmother. Look, there's a man hidden in the corner. And there was, inside the fish, Jonah. He had a problem with unbelief. He didn't think the Ninevites deserved to be forgiven. How many of you know a few people that don't deserve it? Thank you. Get over it. When Jonah was sitting in that belly of that whale under the water, do you think for one moment it was comfortable? Gave me a clue. Yeah, it's fiction. But it happened because Jesus verified it. Lift your hands and put one of your hands on your heart and the other one to the Father. Say, Father, tonight we confess the Antichrist pushes buttons in our minds, in our emotions, in our unbelief, crops up when we least expect it. Wash away the stubbornness of our carnal nature. Don't let us walk where Jonah walked. There's still a lot of big fish out there. And we don't want God to throw us overboard. We give you praise. And we declare this bread to be the living bread of Christ. This cup to be his salvation. His blood washing away the old from us. And washing it away forever. And we choose to believe that his resurrection is alive in us. And there is a day, a real, genuine third day, where his power will manifest through us as a corporate body of Christ, doing the work of setting the captives free. In Jesus' name, we pray. We're searching again to ask the Holy Spirit what he wanted for tonight, and there was one thing that really bubbled in. So I want to take you to John chapter 17. And in John 17, Jesus is praying for himself. And a lot of times, we don't think. We're always so busy praying for this one and that one. But sometimes it's time to open up and let Papa know what's happening. Verse 1 says, after Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed. Father, the time has come to glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Verse 3 is very important. Now this is eternal life. He doesn't say, it might be, it looks like it. He says it is. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. We kind of touched on that this morning, that we had been created in Christ as a corporate body in the heavens as spirit beings. We are being reunited in the earth, drawn by him to come together. Verse 6, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me. And they have obeyed your word. Now, they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the word you gave me, and they accepted them. They know with certainty that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. Here's the bold prayer. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. I want to stop there for a moment. I know a lot of people who call themselves intercessors and are constantly crying out for the world. And it's not always God. If the Son of God did not pray for the world, but only for those that God gave him to pray for, that should give you a wake-up call. Amen. If you couple that word with John chapter 5, verse 19 and 30, you'll see that he's not being selfish. He's being obedient. So take a good look at what he says. I am not praying for the world. We have so many people all pushy-pushy about praying for Congress and praying for this one and praying for that one. Unless the Papa says pray, would you please reserve your prayer for those that God gives you to pray for? Who would want you to be wasting your energy praying for the world?
Not him.
Not Jesus. How about the Antichrist? How about the religious realm? Because you see, they haven't got a relationship with him. So what are they going to do? They're going to act like the world. And the Lord said, don't waste your time. You say, well, do I pray for my family and do I pray for my kids? As the Lord leads. You hear me? As the Lord leads. You are not your own. Yes, dear. You could not do it to your child, but God was doing it for all of his children.
Yes.
There was an ultimate purpose.
And that's what connected. It was like such a big reality, and like the love was so great.
Yeah.
Between the two of them.
Yes. But now, as you listen to the rest of this prayer, you're going to understand that he's really looking for you and me to be connected to both of them in the same way by the Holy Ghost.
That's connected.
All right. Verse 10. All I have is yours and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. Did you hear that?
Yes.
So we likewise bring glory to whom? To the Father and the Son. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. You see the coordinate unity. There's no jealousy in the body of Christ.
No.
There is in those who are Antichrist.
Yes.
They can't stand your guts. Yahoo! They'll try to draw you away out of the body so they can seduce you for themselves.
Amen.
If you check out St. Paul's letters, you'll confirm what I've just said. Okay? Verse 12, while I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave to me. So who gave him the name Jesus? The Father. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. So what is he leaving a deposit of? Joy within us. Amen? I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. For they are not of the world. Are you and I of the world? We may be in the world, but we're not of the world. There's a difference. Not anymore. Then I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth of your word. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself that they too may be truly sanctified. If you ponder on this prayer and you get a gist of what he's speaking, it will change your prayer life. It'll give you an example that you are not to mix with those that are in the world or even in the religious world, because they don't even have the discernment unless the Spirit of God is in them. You say, well, they've been this and they've been that. I tell you, look at the fruit. Look at the fruit. If they are seducing, you better get a second look. And get wisdom from the Holy Spirit. Don't get wisdom from those that are in the carnal world. You're going to get carnal instructions. And you know what? It's going to produce flesh. And good feelings for the moment, but death in the future. Verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's you and us. Amen? That all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, you in me, and may they be brought to complete unity. To let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So Papa was relying on his love, going into his son. His son was pouring out his love upon his disciples, his chosen ones. That's you and me. And it's a real setup to really teach the world, by your example, who you really are. The testimony that came last night out of Jackie. I know I'm picking on you, girl. But when you gave that testimony, that said, this church is doing what it was designed to do. It's an answer to Christ our Savior's prayer. Because you tasted of its fruit. And the fruit gave you freedom. When you and I taste of that freedom, and that freedom is a reality, the war stops. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay. And it was confirmed through Olivia. Yeah, it was. It was. Oh, yeah, you did. You're guilty. Take it. The love flow you have tasted has caused you to return. Caused you to change your mind in multiples of levels. Amen?
Amen.
And you're glad of it because you said it.
Yes, I am.
And looking for more.
Yes, I am.
Bob today. Same message.
Yes.
Tasted of his love. Peggy today. Tasted of the reality of Christ in her brothers and sisters. Carrying the mission of that love flow. Recognition came. Wow. It's for me. It's really real. It's not make-believe. It's not just the art of doing. It's the flow of reality. Christ in us, the hope of glory. The unity is forming. And it's going to get stronger. Amen? 24. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me, because you love me before the creation of the world. There it is again. Where did the love flow originate? Between Papa and Son. And when we have Him in us, and we are in Him, you can't help it. It's going to increase. It's going to multiply. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you. And they know you, that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. The whole procedure of Christ coming down is now exposed. He came to release His Spirit inside of each and every one of us. That was the second feast, which is called what? Pentecost, yes. His Spirit was released. And it was released so that it would come in us. Isn't it incredible that you could get the Passover and Pentecost connected through this prayer? He did not fail. And therefore, you will not fail. You say, well, my God, I haven't reached the finish line. Praise God, you haven't. You're a work in progress. But I want you to just close your eyes and lift one hand to the Lord and say, you began a work in me, Lord. And I'm looking forward of more of you in me. Manifesting love to the body of Christ first. And to those you direct me. Any self-hatred is caused by Antichrist, which was in the world, and it's now still trying. I renounce this Antichrist. I renounce its works and its fruits. I will not let it operate in me. In Jesus' name, I command, loose and let me go. And I will walk in perfect harmony with my Heavenly Father, fully aware that His Son is in me by His Spirit, and I will rejoice that His glory will radiate through me like it did in His Son. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You got it.